Morning. For the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at the promise from God in Joel chapter 2. And I'd like to put up that verse up there. Okay, great. It's in Joel 2, and it's also quoted in the Acts chapter 2 as well. And it goes like this. It says that in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And this morning, you know, during the praise team, the song about the promise of God, you know, it just reminds me that this is something that we as a church, you know, ought to claim this, ought to embrace this, and grow in our own faith. Now, looking at this verse up here, which is certainly not new to anybody here, but did you know that there's a secret code in this passage? You know, it's like when you try to look at those images called the stereograms, where it looks like it's all just mumble jumble, and you're supposed to look at it in a certain way, and then you can see the hidden image after staring at it for a couple of seconds. Do you know what I'm talking about? Right? And whenever I try doing that, you know, it feels like my eyes are crossed, right? Then unless you look at it cross-eyed, you're not going to see the image. So I really want to see the image, so I'm there, and then I'm remembering my mom telling me, don't do that, you can stay permanent, and I'm trying to see this image here. And it would be just great if, besides straining yourself, if there were just some glasses you could just put on so you could just see the hidden image. Well, looking at this verse here, let me give you this morning the special glasses. Are you ready for that? Right? Because there is a hidden message in this. Okay? Now let's get the slide up here. Okay? I broke this down with the colors because, you know, much of the Old Testament was written in a literary structure that is relatively unknown to the modern reader. Now, it is written with a structure that's much like a bookend, right? You have a main idea, and then you have repeated thoughts that's like a bookend, beginning and end, and it braces it. And then you have different layers of it. Okay? So here, you will have two words that are sandwiching the main idea. Okay? So when you look at this, you have the words days and days, right? And then it's repeated. And then you have pour out and pour out. Again, when you read this, you don't really notice that, but when you read it, it's like, you know what, didn't I just read this before? You know, especially in the book of Leviticus, it sounds like, you know what, I'm reading this second time again. So there's a lot of redundancy here. And your sons and daughters, okay, which is the mentioning of two different genders. And then you have repeated here, men and women. And so when you have these brackets, this structure, it highlights right in the middle that is the main idea. And so what we left here is the highlighted part, and even within this highlighted part, there is redundancy built into this. And redundancy is to highlight something, all right? That's how scripture is written. In the English language, we would say, well, you know, Evan is very happy, right? That's what we would say in English. But in a biblical writing, if long time ago, we would say, you know, Evan is happy, happy, right? It would just through redundancy to highlight something. So now you can better understand when Jesus says, you know, truly, truly, I say unto you, or in the book of Revelations, you know, God, you are, you know, holy, holy, holy. Instead of how we would write it today, God, you are very, very holy. All right? So with our special glasses on this morning, and we look at this main idea here, clearly you can see that within the highlighted area, there are repeated words or at least repeated thoughts. So follow me here. You see the words, old men and young men. The thought here is this discreet outpouring of God's Spirit is generational. Okay? Dreams and visions, they sound like the same thing, and it talks about the future. And then you have a repeat of the word will, right? And then down here again, will. So these two words that are redundant and repeated, well, it tells us that it is not yet the case, but it will be in later on. It's a future reality. It talks about faith. So the main idea for this particular passage and how we could take it as a church is that, you know, his Spirit is outpouring, and this outpouring would be generational, that it's about the future, and it will require faith. And I want our leaders, especially in this church, I want our leaders to keep that in mind. Okay? You can take this down, please. In the last days, you know, God may be more talkative than ever. But the question is, well, how does God talk? You know, unlike in the Old Testament, you know, his own Spirit is in us. There's an indwelling Spirit that acts like a counselor that reminds us constantly. And so this morning, we will be continuing our supernatural series, and we will look into those that hear God. Okay? Would you join with me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we acknowledge, Lord, every promise that you have given to us. And Father, Lord, we look at your promises not just as information, but Father, we want to embrace it. We want it to become a reality in our lives and in our church. So Father, Lord, we acknowledge that you are not just a God that is distant, just observing, constantly observing, but not interactive, and that you don't have much to say to us in our daily lives or about the crossroads of our lives or the big decisions that we have to make. Father, Lord, contrary to that, we believe that you have a lot of thoughts and a lot of things to say to your children. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you would give us understanding and that this morning we would hear from you as your Son speaks through the Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me begin today with the short narrative that's found in 1 Kings 19. Let's put that up there, please. 1 Kings 19 basically it says this, and you are perhaps very familiar with this. It says, Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Now, there are times that we think that God speaks through the wind, and all of a sudden it's not him. Or through the earthquake, or through the fire. But yet, God is not speaking. But we thought, you know, we were bracing ourselves for something, and then it wasn't there. So in other words, we assume that God will do something in a way that is based on past performances, right? For Elijah, you know, the wind and earthquake and the fire, well, those were the forms of the past, that he was used to those forms of communication. But God doesn't stay in the box that we create for him. And so God, instead, he uses a gentle whisper, according to NIV. But then I looked at other versions, and this is what it says. This is what it says. Like the King James Version says that it's a still, small voice. The Good News Translation says a soft voice. And then the Revised Standard Version says a sound of sheer silence. So it doesn't seemed like it's very clear in terms of how God communicated to Elijah. And this lack of clarity seems to really extend not only to Elijah, but it extends to you and I as well in a modern day. You know, for us today, we often hear people describing, you know, God's personal communication with them. And they would describe it in words that seem to sound very abstract, you know, where this is God's leading. You know, there are promptings that I felt, or maybe a thought that is inserted into me, and or he put it into my heart. You know, or we say something like, you know, I sense God wanting me to go or saying something to me. And these are all different terms, but they all are saying that God is somehow communicating with me personally. Now, in the Old Testament, God spoke to many people, right? We know that. And for sake of time, I'm not going to read off the long list of people where they heard from God. Now, in the New Testament, we are under a superior covenant in Christ. And the communication, we would think, should be even more enhanced than the Old Testament. Now, in Acts chapter 8, we find this verse. It says that the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Now, based on hearing God, Philip, you know, he acted in obedience and he went and he did it. And the rest was history in terms of how God used that particular moment. Now, today we hear preachers saying, you know, originally I have prepared this message, but the Lord has guided me to present to you a different message. He laid a different message on my heart. We have heard preachers say that before in the past. Or perhaps church planters I've heard many times. They will often say that, you know, God has led my heart to be in this place. You know, the founder of that church, Times Square Church, the late David Wilkerson, who died in a car crash a couple of years ago, he was saying for the longest time that he founded that church because this one particular night, walking on 42nd Street around midnight, that God called him to raise up a church right there, Midtown Manhattan. Now, this past week, I was at an annual district prayer conference with the denomination. And over there, my roommate, Donnie Mason, who was scheduled to come here, you know, a couple of weeks back for missions, and he didn't make it. And he was basically sharing what we know already to the rest of the denominational family here. And he was sharing how they sent a call from God to move from St. Petersburg to Moscow. And after they made that decision, they felt at peace with it. And then turmoil disrupted his entire family. And they are still struggling with that decision that came from the Lord. You know, I read somewhere that a guy at church, not this church, of course, I just read somewhere, a guy at church picked out the prettiest girl in the congregation. And he approached her and said, you know, God told me that you are to marry me. And the girl said, well, that's funny. God didn't tell me the same thing. I'm sorry, I didn't get the memo. And so sad to say, you know, that's a humorous story. But a lot of times it's not so funny. You remember back in the 1970s or the late 1970s, right? So for us, you know, some of us who are able to, right? Think back in the 70s. It's okay, King, go put your hand down, all right? Think back in the 70s. There was a pastor by the name of Jim Jones. And he was part of the charismatic movement of that particular decade. And so he kept telling people that God spoke to him, you know, that he has a special connection with God. And he says that God spoke to me, and until he told about 910 American citizens who were living in this commune down in South America to commit mass suicide by drinking this poisonous Kool-Aid, right? It was cyanide filled and all that. And so that particular event was the greatest loss of American lives, well, until 9/11. That was the big one. Now, not too long ago, a friend of mine who used to attend the same church many years ago, he was so eager to use his prophetic word, his prophetic ministry, right? And he felt like it was his niche, it was his ministry. And a prophetic word, in case you are not familiar with that is, a prophetic word is an announcement of his specific revelation to you, all right? A general revelation would be like, okay, if I told you God loves you, right? That's a general revelation. That's for everybody. Now, a specific revelation is like if you told somebody that God wants you to take this particular career path, or God wants you to relocate into this particular area. That's something more specific. That's a prophetic word. So he would go around praying for people and speaking into their lives, right? Whatever he sensed God has put into his heart, he would pray into his life and into people's lives. So on this one particular Sunday, he came to my house. And typically, you know, on a Sunday afternoon, I'm a little, you know, a little tired already. Either I just take a little nap, and in case you're wondering what I'm doing around 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, it's either napping, running, or football. That's pretty much it. I'm a simple guy. So he came over, and I'm a little tired already, but, you know, out of politeness, oh, how was your Sunday worship, you know? How does Sunday go for you? And so I asked him then, and he says, well, you know what? He was worshiping, and he sensed that God wanted him to say something to this mutual friend of ours, okay? That there was a strong prompting. And this friend of ours, you know, who's been married for some time already, and she wasn't able to have any children. And so under the prompting of the Holy Spirit, he said he gave her a prophetic word. And he said to her, you will be with a child this time next year. And I told him, I hope you are pretty blank sure that that's from God. Because if not, those words are pretty reckless and hurtful for the sake of your prophetic word. And a year passed by, nothing was changed. You see, whenever things like that happen or don't happen, the natural tendency is to swing all the way back to the other side. And you can understand how the mood can shift to the other extreme of conservative theology, which states that, you know what, God just speaks to the Bible. There's really no, the supernatural miracle doesn't really happen anymore. It's just the Bible, right? And as a result, the spiritual life of a church can become just about intellectual doctrines when God has no room to act supernaturally. Where we only recall the extreme cases of mysticism gone wild. And the voice of the supernatural God becomes neglected and sometimes even frowned upon. So historically, you know, the pendulum either swings to the conservative evangelicalism, who is allergic to any kind of prophetic word, or really the other extreme of subjective mysticism. Now, growing up in CEM, right here in Chinatown, you know, I don't think it was really ever emphasized that much about hearing God speak in a personal sense, right? At least that's my years in CEM growing up. And so theologically, you know, no one denied it because, well, obviously it's in the New Testament. It's undeniable, right? But yet, in practical speaking, it really wasn't talked about much. You know, so there was like sort of an informal policy where it's, and this is similar to a lot of other churches, ask not, seek not. And if it happens, it happens. Right? And so there has to be a middle ground between these two extremes. And we're reminded of this curriculum that we studied here in this church many, many years ago. I had to go to my Google search to look back how far back it was. Do you remember the years back when we studied Experiencing God, right, by Henry Blackaby? We did it for adult Sunday school. Now, keep in mind, that material was produced by the Southern Baptists, right? The Southern Baptists are you know, part of, you know, conservative theology, conservative evangelicals, you know, but they tried to find a middle ground as much as they could, you know, and the middle ground between, you know, mysticism and conservatism. And so some of you remember one of the key teaching points was this. Okay, let's put that up there, right? It says that God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal himself, his purpose, and his ways. All right, let's put that down. I mean, God does communicate in different ways, which includes the prophetic word. But the Bible is still the primary way. And so, you know, whatever you sense that God has placed in your heart or God is leading you, you know, it cannot contradict the word of God, nor any interpretation of what you think God said to you or any circumstance that is around you. It cannot contradict the word of God. Or even if other Christians are speaking something into your life, it cannot contradict the word of God. It all needs to be consistent to the word of God. Now, I just have a few thoughts on this for my church because, you know, I'm not an expert on hearing God's voice. I'll just say that out there to you. You know, other pastors that I've known, they seem to have a greater gift of discernment on this. I'm not one of those. But I do believe that God, over the span of my own Christian journey, ever since junior high school, getting baptized at CEM, up till now, middle age and everything, right? The span of my Christian journey, that there are a few times where I do believe that God spoke to me. And let me just share with you a few. Maybe I share some of this already to you. Maybe you noticed already, but I remember around 23 years old, and I was just torn apart. What should I do in my life? Should I continue this pursuit of an architectural career? Should I go and do something with the Billy Graham Crusade or whatever it is? And should I go to seminary and have a whole career change without even having a career, right? So right there in that particular crossroad, I sense God putting this thought into my heart when I was at that chapel time, you know, fasting on a hot summer, you know, afternoon, you know, build my house before your own. Build my house before your own. And I knew God was touching on all the different worries of my life of, you know, will I save enough to get married? Will I have this? Will I have all these different things that my mother told me I should have set up before I go on and everything? But it was very powerful. Build my house before your own. And then another instance is when I was interviewing here for this church. I mean, really, at that time it was a small search committee. Elder Bill was part of that, and to make a long story short, there was a lot of misinformation that was coming from the pastor that I was working under. And therefore, it caused a lot of different questions that kind of came up. And it was constant back and forth. Some emails going back to just clarify that. And another phone call just to clarify that, you know, so because I didn't want this thing to be shipwrecked, you know what I mean? And then finally, I remember this one particular night. And we lived in College Point back then. And I was laying in my bed. And the thought just came to me as I was so worried about this. Put it in my hands. Don't call Elder Bill. All right, that's the sense I got, right? And I knew that if I was to trust God to put it into his hands, then I better act like it by trusting him and putting it in his hands without calling and trying to do all these things to try to clarify things. And then in DR trip, where I sensed the Lord we were fasting that afternoon or that day, and I was just asking God, how come I'm not really hearing you here? You know, we're just tired, confused, hot, hungry, you know, what's going on here? And it was like God opening up just like Solomon, you know, kind of open up a blank check, like, well, what do you want to know? What do you want to know? And the only thing at that time, you know, I was young, the only thing I wanted to know is, you know, are my three kids going to be in the kingdom? That's all I really wanted to know. I could have asked any question in the world, just like Solomon could have asked anything. I just like, you know, God, will my three kids be in the kingdom? And for the next 15, 20 minutes, I was just weeping on that bed because God answered it. Not with a yes and no. It was bigger than that. And really, ever since that day, I mean, God has proven that to me. My kids, I'm not saying they're perfect, all right? They're not perfect kids, all right? Because they didn't come from perfect parents. But the grace of God is on them. I know that. And then lastly, here, right, in this church, before the praise team was setting up, and I remember the Lord just giving me this, that, you know, early on, that I'll give this church a gift, even though it doesn't deserve it. But I will give this church a gift because of my character. And so I want to share with you just three quick thoughts, very quick thoughts on this matter of God speaking, okay? Again, I'm not an expert, but, you know, in that long timeline, those were the few, I guess, PAL's top five experiences, all right? Those are my top five. Now, here it goes. It's in your bulletin as well. One is not up to your timing. Jeremiah 1:2 reads like this. Thank you. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah. Now, that might not seem much to you, but this is what it says to me, and I'd like to explain this to you, that this tells me that the God's specific revelation was precious to Jeremiah. The fact that he recorded and written down the exact year tells us that it doesn't happen every single year. Do you get that? That maybe it doesn't even happen all the time. And that's why it's so special when the word of the Lord came to him. And the word of the Lord doesn't come to us every time we go to prayer meeting, right? Because we scheduled it to be this particular Sunday at this particular time on this particular floor. Right? Or the word of the Lord doesn't necessarily come to you whenever you decide to have a devotional time. You see, God chooses the time. He's the one that chooses the place. He chooses the method of communication to you. And you can be praying, fasting, worshiping 24/7, which is all good and everything, yet the bottom line is still up to the sovereign God to pick the time to choose to speak to you or not. Again, you know, God is not a genie, you know, that a powerful being, but yet manipulated by man. You know, we are the ones that are to submit to the control of the Holy Spirit. Second, it happens when you are filled with the Spirit. Now, I have problems when people who say casually that they got something from God, but yet their lives do not reflect a Spirit-filled life. Nor is there any spiritual fruit to suggest otherwise. It's just very casually saying, you know, God led me, God said this, or God, you know. And it's always easy to say that I'm still waiting upon God to speak when we don't want to move on something. Did you realize that? Right? And then when we say things like, you know, you hear things like, you know, God has led me, when in reality we decide to make that decision a long, long time ago. So we can easily self-certify our own decisions. And it's like putting a God label right over what is really our own decision anyway. And it happens all the time. Maybe it happened to you. I'm sure it happened to me. But when you look into the scriptures, well, this is why I find. Let's get the next verse up there. Thank you. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, this is talking about the church now, not just one person, the whole church, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So it sounds like to me that that particular church at that particular time took God seriously. That they were already in tune with God and his purpose. You know, why would God speak to a casual church that is not sensitive to the Holy Spirit? So for those of us that want God to give a specific revelation, well, let me ask you this. Have you prepared yourself to be in his presence? Have you committed time alone to be with him, with the Bible opened? You know, have you fasted and praised him when no one is watching, when there's no program, no one's pushing you or driving you to do this? It's all on your own because you want to be in his presence. You know, the Bible says to be alert and sober mind so that you can pray. Or in other words, so that you can hear God. Now lastly, the Bible is enough if you let it. Now we all admit that we do know that the Word of God is living and active. We know that. It is not a rule book. It's not a manual. It's not a list of principles that you need to comply to. You need to read it and study it and comply to it. You know, if you see the Bible like a building code, then I think you really miss the whole picture here. It is called the living word because the living Christ speaks through it. Now, I'm convinced that you, if you are seriously looking for God, then you will quickly discover that he was seriously looking for you long, long time ago. So how does seriously looking for God look like? Well, you would set aside time to be with him in prayer and his word. Okay, that's basic. We know that. And then you would take the Bible and you would read it at this particular point, not for information. All right? And as a pastor, I always fight against that. I'm not reading it to pick out three more things out of this or to prepare something for, oh, yeah, Thanksgiving, that's a nice message, or Easter, that's a nice message. No, to read it for meditation, to read it for revelation instead of information, and so that you would declare that, God, this time is your time, it's me and you time, and I have your word here. Now, the posture of your heart is very critical here. Because the posture of your heart has to be fully submissive to anything that God reveals to you through his word. It's like in the Old Testament, Samuel, right? When he approached the presence of God, he says, speak, for your servant is listening. Say anything you want, I'm listening. So there are times I just pray. I say, you know, I just want to hear anything that my father wants to say to me, his son. Anything. I'm not framing the narrative, you know, where God, you know, I'm the one with the question, and then you can only answer the multiple answers that I provide, right? A, B, or C, or yes and no, whatever it is. All right? It's like praying to God and saying, God, you know, let me know which door shall I open. Door number one or door number two? Well, what makes you so sure that God wasn't thinking about a door number three? Or maybe there is a door number four that's about to develop because his grace is good to you, but you just didn't know it. Or maybe God doesn't even want you to open any doors at this point because he's doing a pruning work in your life. Again, there are so many possibilities, and it'll be wrong for us to frame the narrative when we pray to God. Now, these are just some of the few thoughts that I have for my church, just for you. And so after service, you know, we will be following up this message with a prayer time on the fourth floor where we will both discover more about this, and you will have an opportunity to discuss this a little bit more about hearing from God. All right, let me close in prayer. And Father, we thank you that you are a living Christ And Father, Lord, your word, when we approach it correctly, your word can speak for itself. That perhaps, Lord, we don't necessarily need all the commentaries, and we might not even need all those MP3 sermons. But Lord, your spirit is the counselor that leads us to all truth. And you do have a specific will for us and a message for us. And we call you our Father, and you call us your child. So Father, Lord, we want to hear from you. Prepare us as a church. Prepare our leaders. Prepare every soul that is motivated to pursue you, Lord, to hear you. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your living spirit that you have sent to dwell within us so that we can submit to it. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.